Well, thank you. Thank you very much for a short but powerful testimony. I told him he can probably say in 5 minutes what I can say in an hour, so. Okay, a few minutes left. I'm going to try to finish my notes here and your outline there. Jumping down to the part about where it says 2 Timothy 1:12. The Apostle Paul, he knew who he was. He understood his own identity. For the which cause I also suffer those things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Are you as convinced in knowing who you are in God as the Apostle Paul was? And does your life show it like his did? He says, I know who I have believed. It wasn't about himself anymore. His focus was now on Christ. And he also mentions suffering. And if I'd have more time, I'd like to talk a little bit more about how suffering can also shape our identity and how having a true identity based in Christ, like the Apostle Paul did, it gives us a solid foundation to endure suffering as well. Identity story. Do you know who I am? I'm the son of a king. This is a story I'm just pulling out of memory. I heard it from somewhere. I don't know all the details. I just know the punchline. This guy was driving through some jungle forest in Africa or wherever it was, a Christian man driving along through this narrow, windy road somewhere in the back in the thick forest, and all of a sudden he found himself surrounded by guerrilla soldiers. They jumped out of the bush and flagged him down and stopped him and surrounded his vehicle, and the leader came up to the door of his vehicle and pointed a gun in his face and said, I shoot you, I shoot you. And this Christian man said he felt something rise up within himself, and he told that soldier, he looked at him in his face and said, do you know who I am? I'm the son of a king, and you do not have permission to shoot me. And he grabbed the guy's gun out of his hand, threw it on the ground, and drove away. Apparently he lived to tell the tale. He could have been shot, I guess, but he didn't. But the point I want to make is that man knew his identity. I don't know what country he was in. He was probably not the son of a literal earthly king. But he knew who his identity in his heavenly king. He knew who he was in Christ, and whether those guys shot him or not was beside the point. But that man did not have permission from God to shoot him, so he told him that, and he went on his way. Oh my, do we have that kind of faith and trust in God and understanding our identity in him? I see I'm running out of time. And I'm not finished with my notes. I figured it could go like this. I am who you say I am. Whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. I'm a child of God. In the Father's house there's a place for me. I am chosen, not forsaken. You are for me, not against me. I can give up my right to be right. I can rest in my identity who God says I am. I have nothing to prove, and I have nothing to hide. Are you walking in agreement with who God says you are? 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation. You are chosen. You are a royal priesthood, a son of a king or princess, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a called out, a separate, a special people. Why? That we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. If we rest in our true identity in God, Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Revelation 3:12 is a bit of a mysterious verse to me. It talks there about being given a new name. There's something intrinsically attractive or curious in my mind about what the Revelator, John the Revelator, is writing about when he says that. And I don't know, it just intrigues me. Those that overcome will be given a new name. What does that all mean? Maybe somebody can enlighten me on that sometime. Knowing who Christ is in us gives us a solid foundation and belief system that we can build our life on. It can sustain us through the good and bad times in life. It can give us a deep joy and stability and faithfulness in times of storm and temptation. Do you believe who God says you are? And I was going to look at Isaiah 43 if I have time, but I will skip over that. Going down yet to Ephesians 2:10, you are God's masterpiece. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Do you see yourself as a vessel of clay in God's hand, and he is working on you, and he's creating you into a beautiful masterpiece? And one parable yet from Matthew 13:45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Maybe there's different interpretations for this parable, but I'd like for you to think of yourself as this pearl of great price. And Jesus being this merchant man. I don't know if you think of Jesus as a businessman or not, but Jesus didn't come as a tourist, just self-seeking tourist spending a lot of money. He came as a businessman or merchant man seeking for goodly pearls. He had an eye for something that was real, that was precious, that was valuable. Who, when he found one pearl of great price, that was you. He came searching and looking for you. And when he found you, that pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had. Jesus left the glories of heaven and everything he had there, and he came down to this sin-cursed, fallen world because there was one pearl of great price that he wanted, and he bought it. He bought you. He paid the ultimate price for you. You are that valuable. You are that important to him. Who are you? This was a huge topic. The more I studied into it, the more I realized it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So I've only scratched the surface a little bit, but I hope I've got your mind thinking a little bit about who does God say that you are and how valuable are you to him? Let's pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you today for who you are, the great God and creator of all mankind. Thank you that you have created us in your image. For your glory, you have stamped your imprint upon our lives. You have bought us. You have paid the ultimate price to purchase us because you valued us like a pearl of great price. Lord, let's just pray for each one here this morning that you would work in our hearts and our thoughts and our minds and our belief system that we could come to know truth, that you would help us to recognize lies and unbelief, that we could change those, trade those lies and unbelief with truth and with you. And Lord, let's just pray that our spirits might just come to worship before you and allow your presence and your word to change our thoughts and our belief system and cause us to worship you above all else. Lord, that it's not about us. It's not about me, myself, and I, but Lord, it's because of you and because of who you are and who you want us to be with you in glory. Lord, let's just pray that you would bless these people, watch over us, and keep us in your care for your honor, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.